As usual, the Lord often gives me a title in which to talk about, and we're going to call this teaching today, Let the Light Shine. Let the Light Shine. We're not always aware of light, particularly spiritually speaking, because it's opposed by the powers of darkness. And so because we're often in a conflict, and we know that our warfare is not carnal but spiritual, we are aware that darkness tries to consume light, tries to consume the light that is within us through the new birth, through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So we find that there are periods and times of where we have to be on our guard, we have to be alert and watchful, sometimes going into spiritual warfare, because it's about keeping that light going. And we're not always aware of this until we get such teachings where we become aware what is actually going on each day in our life and walk. And I want to start off with Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14, 15. Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. And here the apostle says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And he goes on about holding fast the word of life. So we see he clearly reveals here about light shining in the midst of everyday walk, everyday things that we do. He said, do all things without complaining and disputing, which at times we fall victim to. We start complaining and griping and moaning. And he uses that because he says that's the sort of thing that can start to put the light out in you. You don't talk and act or react like the world does. And he says, you have become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a corrupt, perverse generation. So that's where God has called us and saved us, in those conditions. It's perverse, corrupt. And he says he's called us to shine as lights in the world. And we hold fast to the word of God in order that that can be achieved. So as usual, we find ourselves, God presents us in impossible situations that cannot be done naturally. So again, we are so dependent on the life of the Spirit that is within us, that's far greater than the darkness that's in the world. And that light shines in everyday things that we do, very practical things that we do, how we come over, or how we come over with our family or at work or with people that we meet, how we treat them, how we are to love even the unlovable. All of this is so that light shines. And this is why we're calling our teaching today, Let the Light Shine. You see, the church in general today knows very little about being light to the world. There's a lack of power of the Holy Spirit. They no longer hold, embrace to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if you lose that empowerment, which is light to the church, then it starts to slowly go out. And we also know that the power of the Holy Spirit in nature is cleansing. It cleanses through the word of God, as it's taught by the anointing. It cleanses. We're like salt that's been preserved, seasoning in the world. Because salt may still look like salt, but it can lose its flavor. And that's the subtlety of it. And exactly the same like in the world. There are many who call themselves Christians, but they're not necessarily Christian. It's only by title. The light that is in them reveals whether they are Christian or not. The same as like salt. It looks like salt, but it can lose its flavor. So we mustn't be deceived. The enemy comes like an angel of light, that if it were possible even to deceive the very elect, the Bible says. What does 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 tell us? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So God is not going to let us have a form of godliness. He's not going to let us outwardly look Christian, look devout. There are a lot of professing believers who are very disciplined, very devout, but they have no power in their life. The light has gone out or is going out. So God keeps us alert. He keeps us being taught by the Spirit. He brings us together by the Spirit, that we come together under the headship of Jesus Christ, for the purpose that we are to be lights in this world of darkness. You see, it's interesting that Jesus likens us to light, as we are to be like him. So we're called to be like him. He was the light of the world, as he says in Matthew 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14, he says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before. So persecution comes as a result of light. Why? Because light is exposing darkness, or indeed it should be. What is the position of light? Well, the Bible says it's a lampstand, or a lighthouse set upon a hill for all to see. The church is called to be a lighthouse. It's set upon a hill, separated to give out light. But sadly, light has become the world's light, a counterfeit light. Why? Because much of the church has become so worldly, like the world, lives and acts like the world. I'm reminded of what it says in the book of Revelation. I know we looked at this the other day, to the church at Ephesus, the great apostolic church. But what does it say in Revelation 2 and verse 5? One of the things he says, unless you come back to your first love, I'm going to remove something. And he says quite clearly what he's going to do. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So this is a warning that's going out to many professing Christians and churches. There is that need to repent, that bowing of the knee, that humility, to do the first works again. What are the first works? to put Christ first in all things. In everything I face, in my everyday life and walk, I'm to put him first. I consider him. I seek him. I seek his mind, his will, what he's saying in every situation. That's what it means to come back to your first love. You see, this church at Ephesus got spiritually busy, got busy with ministry. It was very active. And outwardly was doing the right thing, discerning, coming against heretics, apostolic in nature, but that busyness being caught up, they lost their first love, relationship with God. Because that is light. And he says, I'm going to remove that from you if you don't get this right and come back to me. And this is a warning to all of us Christians, because this life can get us very involved and busy in a lot of things and also unnecessary things. I find this at times in my life. I have to actually say no, because I know if I get caught up in these things, I start losing my first love. And God says that light will start to go, because that light points the way. And this is why the church in general has lost or is losing that light, because it's now being deceived by the world's light. Getting involved in worldly things. We can get so involved in political things. Christianity, so much of it has become political. We're not to get involved in that sort of thing. And yet many Christians are involved in humanitarian things and interest. They may appear to be good and right, but that is from the world. We walk on a higher level. Why? Because our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. These Christians that walk this way, and many of them do, have no idea of spiritual warfare. None at all. They're not very spiritual in that sense. They're involved in so many things, so many welfare things and political things, that the church has just become the part of the community. And that's what churches are today. They're youth clubs, Sunday schools, political meetings, and all that sort of thing. That's what they've become. We're above that. We are to be true lights of Jesus Christ. Because as I've said many times, Christ is knocking to come in many of these churches. He's left outside. No longer a light, no longer a beacon. What does a beacon do? A beacon from a lighthouse is light to warn. Don't get too close. There's rocks. You'll be shipwrecked. That's what they're for, to give warning. And the church in general today has lost all of that. The warnings it gives out in a political manner. That's why we're not involved in that sense. We're above that. We see from a different view. We're like the eagles that fly high. An eagle is nearer the sun, the light, and can fly in those conditions. So That's the first thing to think about and consider, that to let our light shine. What is the nature of light? Well, we see right at the beginning of the Bible, that you know very, very well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 2 to 5, here we see the nature of light. Here we see in God creating, speaking out the word. Listen to what he says from verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. So the first thing that he does, he speaks light over darkness, uncreated. He's speaking into existence, dividing light and dark. So there we see right at the beginning its nature. And what does light do? Light banishes darkness. You see, darkness can never dispel the light when it shines. This is why Jesus Christ can never be dispelled. He can never be destroyed by the powers of darkness, the very devil himself. As it says in John chapter 1 verse 5, the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So it's speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, come into the world. He is that light that God spoke into being back there in Genesis. When he spoke the word, "Let there be light," that light he was revealing is the pre-incarnate Christ, the light of the world. He is the light. And he can never be put out. So we see the nature of light is Christ himself. And we too should have that light as we work our everyday work. What we put our hands to, what we say, what we do, outside, in the home, with the family, all to glorify God. You see, this light works in a very practical way. There's nothing fancy about it in that sense. It just shines in everyday activities, particularly now as Christians, in what we do, so that they see our good works, even though we're not aware always what we're doing. For example, as it says in Matthew 5 and verse 16, Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So right in the teachings of the Beatitude that Jesus gives, you know, the blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn and so on. He's speaking about our works, our everyday life, our living in this world of darkness. He says, "Let our light shine." And it will, because the life of Christ in us cannot be put out. That's the wonderful news about it all. What does Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 tell us? Ephesians 5 and verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. walk as children of light. Now, in that verse, something is very important that is said there. It says, you were once darkness, which we were, but now you are light in the Lord. So it's not what you have earned. It's not because you do good works, you try to be good or whatever. He says the light is in the Lord. He is the light. You're not the light. You have submitted your life, you have yielded to the Spirit and allow the light that is in Christ to shine through you. And it will. It's as we yield, as we stop trying and simply yield to that light that will shine through us to this world. You see, many have hid their lights through a lack of testimony, a lack of maturity, a lack of prayer life, just neglecting their walk, study the word. They just come and go when it suits them. There's a lot who call themselves Christians who live that way. And what will suffer every time is that lack of light. See, it's that light that divides. You don't have to try and divide. You don't have to try and say, well, I'm going to expose the darkness that's in my family or in my son or whatever it is. No, you don't do that. That's bondage. That's works. If the light is in you, which we've just read to you, then that light will do its work in whatever way or form, whether it be in persecution or whether it convicts a person or it brings a person to Christ. Let that light do its work. It knows what to do. We simply yield and allow that light to shine through us. Because you see, many try to shine this light. This is why the church is full of works, trying to evangelize, trying to bring people into the church, trying new ideas. And they think that's light. It isn't. It's of the world. This light is supernatural. It's miraculous. The same as the new birth is. And it's simply as we yield over, then that light begins to do its work. And as we read back in Matthew 16, the purpose of the light, we've already touched on it, is for our works of faith, that we do everything unto the Lord. To the most smallest things, everything I do with my hands, everything I say, my actions, who I meet, what I do everything unto the Lord, Him first. First love, the very thing that we read back in Revelation 2:5, the church of Ephesus was losing that sight, was not becoming aware that everything we do unto the Lord. And there are some times when the pressure is on, when it seems the demand is there and I'm busy just for a season. But we still maintain the fact that I do it unto the Lord. This is why it is so important in your prayer time before you meet the day, is you commit that day to God. And that everything I say and do is unto your glory. That your light will shine through me to touch lives in this world. They're powerful prayers to pray before your Heavenly Father. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to that. He wants that light, His light, to shine through you and I, as well as the church. The world needs to see those righteous works through us, which is love and devotion to God. They will see that. They will see that you live a life differently to them. They will see something of the fact that you trust God, you walk by faith when opposition is against you. Your interests are not the same as their interests in the world. Your conduct, where you go, what you say, is different to the world. You know, it's important how we come over. And we have to let that light shine within us. And it's a process, of course. It's an ongoing work. You don't get this immediately. It's a lifelong walk. We're still learning in FGA. And some of us have been walking for many, many years. And there's sometimes you just feel, am I really ever learning anything? And yet that light is there, it's shining. Because you see, the enemy wants to put that light out. It wants to put that light out from this church. And we've seen many times over the years how the enemy's tried to attack this church in different forms and ways. But praise God, it still shines. Why? Because Christ has taken his headship. And he said, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. What does that mean? That means his light is present. It is there. The reason we come together in fellowship, the reason we have come into this room today to hear the word, to have fellowship, is because we see the light that draws us and leads us and guides us. That's how we see this. Don't try and work it out, because this light is supernatural. It's not like switching on a lamp. That's the world's light that we have at night. We put lights on. We put lights on cars. God's light doesn't work like that. He is light. One of the things that we shall experience in heaven, that the light of God will light the new heavens and the new earth. His glory, his presence, his fellowshipping, his tabernacling with us is light. And there will be no shadows. It is a supernatural light, whereas the world's light, man's light, casts shadows, and that's a difference. And so we have received something miraculous. God doesn't always let us see that light. Sometimes we wonder whether we really are shining any light. The enemy would try and deceive us and tell us, well, you're not showing much light at all. Talk about letting the light shine. If Christ is in us, that light is there. And whatever is blocking that light, the Lord will work healing and deliverance and salvation. That is the nature of the teaching of God's word. God brings us under his word because he's working healing, deliverance, salvation. It is a whole message, a whole complete work. That's why I always say on one side we are saved, on the other side of the coin we are being saved. We are being brought out from. And that side of being saved is very dependent on the light of God, the light of the Spirit. And you see, if you have that light in you, then you discern that light. You know that light is God's light. It's pure. It shines. It's different to the world's light, or Satan, who comes like an angel of light to deceive. You see, Satan can only counterfeit what God does. And he comes, he will try and counterfeit that light. Though the Bible says, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. So when we know such scriptures like that, that just, I don't know about you, it just throws me totally dependent upon him. That light will shine that I can see. Because without that, we begin to get lost. We begin to lose the way. We no longer begin to see so clearly. Our discernment starts to go. Our hearing isn't the same. We're not spiritually alert or watching like we used to. There are signs light is going out. It's diminishing. God forbid. But praise God, we keep coming. We keep listening. We keep listening to the word, and that word feeds, and it's like fuel to the light. I'm reminded, as I bring this to conclusion, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Both have light, but it's what they do with that light. And we know that the foolish have not used the wisdom that they should in getting that extra oil, taking that vessel with them for extra oil. Because they're on a journey, they may need that extra oil, and they do need it because the bridegroom tarries for that light, for lamps to be lit. But the wise took the vessels with them because they are aware that probably, you know, God isn't coming quite just yet. The bridegroom isn't quite ready yet, but I've got that extra oil because that will be light. So where do the wise virgins get that wisdom, that understanding from? The light that is in them, from the word of God, hearing what the Spirit is saying. And he's saying, get that extra vessel and fill it. You need it. And some hear that and some don't. And you say, well, how do you get this then? Keep coming, keep listening, keep hearing the word. Just keep up with the Lord day by day. Don't go by feelings. We walk by faith. And God is saying, that is oil filling up your extra vessel that you've got. That's how it works, because it's about light. And when lights go out, and they will, the overcomer's lights will continue to shine, because that light is the light of the bridegroom that's coming for the bride, coming for the church. That is the light that still shines. That's why we need light that shines upon the word of God, that gives us teaching, revelation, illumines the mind, the unction of the Spirit. How does that come? That comes by light. As a preacher and teacher, I need light in these verses to preach and teach. That's how it works. So this light is very, very precious. And we are extremely privileged to be walking in the light as he is the light. And that's why we've called this teaching today, brothers and sisters, let the light shine, and don't let the enemy put it out. Praise God.